Let's pray. Gracious Lord, like so many, we come to the Word with questions. Like the Pharisees, we can sometimes be captivated by correctness. As we turn to your Word, do not let our desire for information subdue our need for transformation. Let us hear the Word of truth and be set free. Amen. Our scriptures this morning come from John, the 8th chapter, the 31st through the 32nd verse, and then the 34th through the 36th verses, and then Romans 8, 35 through 39. Hear now the word of God from John. To the Jews who had believed, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And then from Romans 8, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.' No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God.
Good morning. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Ralph Lair, and I've been a member of Kingswood since 1983 or so. This morning, I want to tell you about when I learned a truth that set me free. God is love. My father was a very stern and unloving person. We were in a Christian Scientist cult, and I never missed a day of Sunday school from the time I was 6 until I was 12. My father's aunt, who was also a Christian Scientist, believed in their dogma of mind over matter as the essence of faith. She chose to have her faith healers come to her house and pray over her when she could have had surgery to remove her basal cell carcinoma easily in its early stages. She came to live with us in her final 2 weeks of life, and the only treatment she had besides the readers of scripture who came to our house was home nurses changing her bandages. I saw my great aunt one time without her bandages, and there was almost no skin left on one side of her face. When his aunt died this way, my father blamed the Christian Scientist dogma refusal to have medical treatment, and he totally lost his faith in God. My grandfather on my mother's side was a strong Methodist and a very loving man. He started taking me to church with him at Park Temple Methodist Church in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I had never felt love and kindness like this in Sunday school before. My teacher radiated the love of God to me. I went through confirmation and sat at the front row of church and went to Sunday school willingly after that and received grace by faith in the love of God through Christ. The other moment came in my life when I learned that God wants to have a personal relationship with us. My conversion at age 12 was solid, and my faith was firm all the way through high school, college, dental school, Air Force. When I came back to Atlanta, I had 2 young children, and I hadn't been to church or Sunday school since high school. I started going back to church because of our children and served in the Sunday school with the youth. I was serving God, believed in him, and wanted my children to know him, but there was something missing. One night, as I was playing my guitar for the youth, I was overpowered by the love of God, and it was so powerful that I knew he was speaking to me. The song we were singing was, "He's Everything to Me." I sensed God telling me that I was free to love others through him, because suddenly he became a real person to me, and I sensed him living in me. The words that moved me were, till by faith I met him face to face, and I felt the wonders of his grace. Then I knew that he was more than just a God who didn't care, who lived way up there, and now he walks beside me day by day, ever watching me ere I stray, helping me to find that narrow way. He's everything to me. The God I believed in and trusted in all the years of my life became a real person to me that night, and my love for Christ has continued to grow. And in loving him more, my love for others has grown too. This truth has certainly set me free to love God and to love others.
Thank Ralph. He did that and left for Alaska. So if he's watching, thank you, Ralph. Today we begin our series of sermons about the truth will set you free. In John 14:6, Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples, and he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And then there are those verses I read earlier from John 8. "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It's interesting for us who go to church a lot, we interchange words a lot when we start thinking about God or talking about God or the Holy Spirit or Jesus. And for those who maybe don't go to church, who maybe have not been saved or been in church, they might be confused when they hear a lot of different ways that we talk. When we start talking about God, we as traditional Christians, we believe that God is infinite, okay? Infinite. We are finite. Our minds cannot conceive all that God is and how God acts. And every attempt we have to define who God is comes up short. Amen? The finite cannot define the infinite. So let's begin with that. We understand that God is triune, the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All of us have heard that. God the Father, we would consider the creating God, the covenant-giving God, the law-giving God. Okay? God the Son is Jesus, who came to this earth incarnate, fully human and fully divine, who died for our sins, was buried, he was raised from the dead, and ascended into heaven. He will come again to judge the quick and the dead. That's what the Apostles' Creed tells us about Jesus, right? We believe in God the Holy Spirit. It's interesting, though, sometimes we talk about Jesus. It's that song. One of the first songs I ever learned. Might be one of the first songs you ever learned. Jesus loves me. Y'all remember that? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. You know, I learned that song before I could read. There is something more of knowing the love of Jesus from as information from the Bible. There's something greater than reading it and knowing and discerning and into understanding and comprehending that Jesus loves us from what we read. There's something greater than that, and that's knowing Jesus. Amen? Having Jesus as our personal Savior, that's more important. Another song that I learned as a little child, and I found out in the Faith and Fellowship class this morning, they didn't go to the same church as I did growing up. They had never heard, some of them had never heard the song, Into My Heart. Some of you know, into my heart, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. How many of you know that? Y'all were raised, right? Okay, good. The rest of you, you must have been something else. It's interesting that we ask for Jesus to come into our hearts. But if we start going through it, it's how do we describe God to ourselves? You see, because when Jesus died, we believe this and according to all the those creeds, when Jesus died and was raised from the dead, he then ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of God the Father. And then on Pentecost, God sent the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus said, the Father will send in my name a comforter, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And so really, we won't ask Jesus to come into our heart, but we're really asking for the Holy Spirit because they're all the same. They have different actions. They have the same goal. They have the same mission. They have all that, all, they're one. So we're really asking the Holy Spirit to come and dwell not only in us, but with us. Have you ever heard that your body is a temple of God? You know why that is? Because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. The temple of God is where God dwells. And so those are words that we say. And so when Jesus was saying to his disciples, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free, he was walking around. And then he died and he was raised from the dead, and the blood of Jesus. When Jesus became the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the earth, the world, he became that. We know salvation through the blood of Jesus. And we can be set free from the bondage of sin when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen? And when we accept Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit within us. And according to John, the Gospel of John, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of our sinfulness. I'm going to tell you a story. You've heard it before, but I love telling the story. There's a song that says, I love to tell the story. And I truly love to tell this story. Because in this, I can tell you about my own faith journey where I understand the truth and the truth set me free and continues to set me free. As we grow in grace and we grow in the sanctification of grace, of God's grace, we need to be being set free constantly. How many of you are familiar with the Church of Laodicea? It's right around the corner. We find it in Revelation. In Revelation 3, 14 through 22, John is writing what Jesus says about the church and Laodicea. And this is what he says, because I was a charter member. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. There was a point in my life where I was just going through the motions. I went to church every Sunday. We had children. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take your children to church, make sure they're in Sunday school. I made June teach Sunday school. I went to another Sunday school class when I went. I sang in the choir. I helped with the youth. I did a lot of things, but I was just marking time, doing me the way I do me. We build a house out in the country. Y'all don't know what country is in Dunwoody, but country is where you don't have neighbors right next to you. Country is no street lights, no sidewalks, no sewage. We had an outhouse. We really had a septic tank. but we didn't have sewage. Those kind of things. You could walk out and see the stars at night. That is a wonderful thing to do. I want to commend that to all of you, to go somewhere where there are no lights where you can really see the stars. We had some of our closest friends, who were our closest friends, were about a mile away, Bob and Edith. And Bob liked to run, he liked to walk, and he would walk with his wife Edith, and he would run and walk with a friend of his. One night after dinner, when he was 52, he walked out of the door after supper and never came back. He died on the side of a road because of a heart attack. Tore up our little church. He was a leader, godly man. He was the son of a preacher man, too. Had a godly mother. About a month later, June and I called Edith to see if she would like to go walking, maybe just get out of the house. So we called her up and we go walking. About 2.5 miles, takes over an hour. We did it, and then we invited her again, and she went. A few weeks later, school started, and June said, somebody's got to take care of the kids, and she was better than me at that. And so I kept walking. I thought I could help Edith. And what I found was, what she had, I did not have. She had a depth of faith that I had never seen, never experienced in my life. I'd had tragedy happen in our family, and we didn't handle it as well as Edith did. And I really soon found out that she was helping me more than I was helping her. And then I began to read my Bible. And then I began to pray. And then I came to know Jesus not only from what the Bible says and knows that he loved me, I knew it in my heart. And it set me free. The truth set me free. I knew that God loves me. And the other thing I know is that God knows what I can take and what I can't take. Because if God had dumped on me all the sins of my entire life, it would have destroyed me. How about you? If all of a sudden the Holy Spirit convicted you of every sin you had ever committed, every wrong you had ever committed, how would you feel? How destroyed would you be? Apparently not too destroyed. Y'all must be sanctified and holy. But for me, I thank God that he loved me enough to have mercy on me. And what I found was that as the more I read, the more I prayed, the more I was convicted of things that I had done wrong in the past with other people. Things like I would be reading my Bible and somebody's name would come into my mind, and it'd be somebody that we had been in a meeting or something together, and we had an argument in a meeting, we said things we shouldn't have said, and our relationship had never been the same. And the Holy Spirit convicted me to go talk to those people. And I'd have to come clean. I would preface everything with saying, the Lord has been working on me. And he put your name in my heart. And I need to let you know that back 2 years ago, or whenever it was, when we had that argument in that meeting, I need to apologize to you because I was wrong. Can you forgive me? And a lot of times, majority of the time, people would say, oh, I need to, no, you don't need to ask for forgiveness. I need to ask for forgiveness. But I was too ashamed to ask you. I said, well, I needed to ask you because I was too ashamed to ask you too. And so we hugged. Or it would be, I'm so grateful that you did that. I'm so grateful. And what I found was that I was able to be set free little by little, more and more, every day as I continued to pray and as I continued to read the Bible. And that's when I found out that the words of Christ, when he said, I will not leave you as orphans, are true. When he said, and lo, I am with you always, they are true. In the words of Paul, when he said, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, are true. And I found out that God was faithful in his love for me and his love for humanity. And when that became real to me, I got set free from a lot of stuff. And God wants to set you free too. But he wants to continue to set us free so that we can be the people he has called us to be. So that the people who do not know Jesus can know the truth and they can be set free. And we can be set free together. Because that's important. That's what growing Christians do. They seek to know more and more about God, to experience more and more of his love and grace deep within inside them, so others can see it and they can share it. I love the song that Ralph read the lyrics to. He's everything to me. Till by faith I met him face to face, and I felt the wonders of his grace. And then I knew that he was more than just a God who didn't care, who lived away up there. And now he walks beside me day by day, ever watching o'er me lest I stray, helping me to find that narrow way. He's everything to me. May we all know the truth, and may we allow ourselves to be set free as God becomes everything to all of us. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your promises. The promise that you are the truth and the truth will set you free. May we be willing to do the things necessary to be set free from the things that keep us from being the people you've called us to be. Lord, we give your Spirit permission to convict us, to change us, to mold us into who you would have us to be in all that we do. Amen.